It's just most powerful, but it's also, it just blesses people. It's just a blessing. And hallelujah. And it's an honor and it's a privilege. Thank you, Pastor Calvin and Barbara, for inviting me to share the word with you tonight. It's a very humbling experience, and it's an honor to be able to preach and teach the word tonight and share the word, share what's in my heart with you. And I just thank the Lord for Pastor Calvin and Barbara. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. And a few weeks ago, Barbara was asking some questions, and I forget what the question was, but I remember the answer that I had in my heart. It was on John Wesley. And John Wesley, well, he has a lot of famous motivational quotes. And this is one of them. And I know, you know, you can either agree with him or not, but that's what came up. I remember reading this a long time ago. And he said, John Wesley, the answer to that question. And I said, I'm going to read this because I didn't exactly have it all that moment. But I had in my heart to share it with you. And John Wesley said this. He said, this is very profound, you know. Either agree with it or you don't, you know. He said, I am no longer my own. And it's written in Old English. He said, I am no longer my own, but thine. Put me to what thou wilt. Rank me with whom thou wilt. Put me to doing. Put me to suffering. Let me be employed for thee or laid aside for thee. And that's the part I remembered. Let me be employed for thee or laid aside for thee. Let me let exalted for thee and or brought down low for thee. Let me be full, let me be empty. Let me have all things, let me have nothing. I freely and heartily yield to all things to thy pleasure and disposal. And now, O glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, thou art mine and I am thine. So be it, and the covenant which I have made on earth, let it be ratified in heaven. Or in other words, let it be approved or confirmed in heaven. Boy, that brings a lot of scriptures to mind. You know, reminds me of the Apostle Paul when he said, I know how to be with much and I know how to be with little. And a bunch of other scriptures come to mind. And that's not what I want to talk about tonight, though. But the sermon I have tonight, it really was inspired by Pastor Calvin's teaching and preaching on Sunday. Not that I'm adding to it, but inspired by it. And when Calvin said, he said that the Lord, he gave us a great commission, you see, and he said, go, he said, all power is given to me in heaven and in all the earth. Go and make disciples of all nations. And I've been thinking about that these days and these past few days. Disciples, disciples, disciples. And I've been meditating on that. And even down at the end of the service, Calvin said, hey, go and win some souls and bring them here. Bring them back here and we'll baptize them. And all that he said, it stuck with me, you know. And that's what we should be doing. Not only winning souls, but making disciples. And how do we do that? You know, some may have the opportunity to preach to the multitudes and great crowds of people. But not all of us are going to get to do that. And in my heart, it's like, hey, be it as it may, I believe in my heart, I truly believe this, that all of us have discipled someone. For there is someone always looking to you and waiting for you to give them that answer as a Christian that you are. And there's always that someone that you're looking to also at the same time, that disciple that discipled you, for instance. You're always looking to that person. And at the same token, there's someone always looking at you, whether it's at work, whether it's at school or at the store, someone that you get to see most of the time. You know, this young lady at work that she left her job and she came to work with us. And she says, oh boy, I think I made a mistake. She's not a Christian yet. But what she said stuck to me. She said, you know, when I was working at the store, I was able to intermingle with people and get to know people and just be their friend. And now that I've left that store, that job at the store, I found out that people are asking about me. Where is she and why did she leave? Oh, she had such a wonderful smile. Oh, she was my friend. And it stuck on me and I said, Lord, this is what it's all about. Let's win the lost. Let's disciple them. You know, if you can disciple just one person and you teach that person to disciple another person, and that one in turn teaches that other person to disciple another person, you know, imagine, you know, just one person can make a difference. And that's what stuck to me when, as Pastor Calvin was teaching and preaching the word this past Sunday. And it was most powerful. I really enjoyed it. And it was, I was fired up. And I said, Lord, give me some scripture. Give me some scripture. Again, I'm not adding to his sermon, not at all. But praise the Lord. We have work to do. He said, go and make disciples. And what is a disciple? Well, I kept asking that to myself over and over. Lord, am I a disciple? And I can kind of get this answer, well, yeah, well, off and on, you know. And it's like, Lord, I'm sorry for that. I want to be your disciple. I want to make disciples so that in turn that person or persons can disciple others. And as I think about Calvin and Barbara down through the years, they've got it. Calvin has always discipled people. And he's always taught people, not by only word, but by example. And I believe I've learned from him that quality from both Calvin and Barbara. Not to their level yet, but I'm learning. And I found that the more you just give the people what the Lord has given you, I'm telling you, the people are just so hungry and expecting you to do it. They're just expecting it from you. Whether it's just a smile or just a good morning to that certain person, oh, that makes all the difference in the world or in the kingdom for them. Whether they're in the kingdom or in the world, you're making a difference. And that's my heart. That's my, I hope to get this right tonight. And I believe God is in the business of multiplication, multiplying everything you do. He wants to just multiply you. And in Deuteronomy chapter 1, Moses talks to the whole congregation. And he says, look, you're as many as the stars. I can't even count you anymore. You're just as a multitude as there are stars, so are you, Moses said to his congregation. I imagine he had like two million people. And Moses was trying to say to the people, hey, I cannot carry you myself alone. But then he prophesied. And then he said, listen, may the God of heaven in Israel multiply you, each and every one of you, 1,000 times more than you are. Imagine that. And I think about that. How can I be multiplied 1,000 times more? Well, guess what? Just that one person that you have discipled can become that 1,000 persons more. Just that one person that in turn will disciple someone else. And it's a slow process. I thank God for Calvin and Barbara for their patience. They've gone through a lot with me, especially in the beginning of the church, 1990, you know. But it requires patience. If someone falls and messes up, don't cast them away. Don't consider that person an outcast. No, you keep discipling him. You keep discipling her. You keep motivating them. You keep edifying them with the word that the Lord gives you. You keep on keeping on. And eventually, you will see the fruits of it. You will. It won't go wrong. Just keep on keeping on. Keep on trucking. And that's my heart tonight. Go with me to Ooh, where do I start? Well, okay, we'll go to Matthew chapter 14. And this story is about when Jesus fed the multitudes. And he, at this event here, or story, or this part of Jesus' ministry, and he fed 5,000 people. And it's funny how the Lord took me to this. Well, not funny, but you know what I mean. I think it all comes down to discipling, really. And you'll see what I mean in a minute. And in Matthew chapter 14, verse 14, I believe it's, you know, Jesus always had a multitude following him. He always had this multitude where he was always healing and making the lame whole again. And just the maimed and the lame just whole again. Healing and opening up blind eyes. And the dumb he would make speak again. This is especially strong in me because I work with those people. And I want to see this in my lifetime. Before I go to be with the Lord, I want to see the work of Jesus in the lives of these people. There's some people that can't even talk. They want to talk so badly, but they cannot. And listen to what Jesus did here in Matthew chapter 14, verse 14. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them. And he healed their sick. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, "This is a desert place, and the time is now past." This is the King James Version. "Send the multitude away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals," it says here, or food. But then Jesus says something tremendous here. "But Jesus said unto them, they need not to depart. Give ye them to eat." In other words, you feed the multitudes. You feed them. "And they said unto him, we have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He said, bring them here there to me. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass. And he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to his disciples. And the disciples to the multitudes. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up of the fragments the remains, 12 baskets full." Kind of think like, you know, if you work for Jesus, he'll pay you a basket each. That's the way I see it, you know. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men beside women and children. You know what gets me about this story? Is that they had Jesus right in front of them. They had the very answer right in front of them. And it reminds me so many times about my life, where I have the very answer, Jesus Christ, the answer right in front of me. Oh, but Reuben wants to figure things out on his own. Well, it'll take a whole year to bring enough money or make enough money to pay this multitude. We tend to think in the natural sense, but we forget that God is a God that multiplies. He wants to make you 1,000 times more than you are. He really does. And there's another account in Mark chapter 8. Let's go there. And this is the time when he fed the 4,000, remember? Yeah, I know you remember. I shouldn't say remember. I'm sorry about that. Mark chapter 8. And right before that, well, Jesus did a lot of healing and stuff like that, you know. But look at Mark chapter 8. This is another encounter. When he, after he had fed the 5,000, well, he fed another 4,000. And in the days, chapter 8, verse 1, "In those days, the multitude being very great and having nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples unto them and saith unto them, hey, I have compassion on the multitude." It's like, do you? That's the way I see it. Do you? "Hey, I have compassion on the multitude because they have now been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away fasting in their own houses, they will faint by the way, for divers of them come from afar," or came from afar. "And his disciples answered him, from whence can a man satisfy these men with bread here in the wilderness? I mean, there's nothing around them. How are we going to feed these people? And he asked them, how many loaves have you? And they said, 7. And he commanded the people to sit down on the ground. And he took the 7 loaves and gave thanks and break and gave to his disciples and set before them. And the people ate. And they had a few small fishes. And he blessed and commanded to set them also before them. So they did eat and were filled. And they took up of the broken meat that was left 7 baskets. Listen, Jesus is saying right here to me and to all of us, you feed them. You feed them. Feed them with what? With whatever you got. You feed them. And yeah, and when I was praising and worshiping the Lord there, I said, Lord, I have failed in this area. I have failed at work. I have failed at the Walmart. And he's saying to me, Reuben, you feed them. You know, a time back, the Lord gave me a word as I was studying in the Word. And I wasn't going to preach any word, but I just study and write things down that the Lord speaks to me. And he said to me, and I shared it with Barbara, I think. He said to me, you know, the word that I give to you, it's not only for you only. But that word that I have placed in your heart is for you and your family, because it is enough to cover you and your family, for I am able to multiply it. I am able to feed you and your family with that word. And if you have a congregation, I am able, still even able, to multiply that word I have placed in your heart, to multiply it, even to feed the congregation. He said, you feed them. He said, I want to make you 1,000 times more than you are. He said to me, you feed them. I will provide, but I'm going to give you the fish and the loaves, but you're going to do the serving. Jesus was the one that provided when he fed the 5,000. He was the one that provided when he fed the 4,000. But oh, it was the disciples that actually did the feeding. They were the ones that took the fish and the loaves to the people for them to eat. And he said to them, you feed them. I am the answer. If you're thirsty, if you're hungry, I can satisfy thee. I am the answer. They had the answer right in front of them. And this is what I've had in my heart these past few days. Oh, Lord, forgive me. I have failed you in this area. Many times have you given me a word at work. Many times have you given me a word at home. Oh, but I'm just too lazy to share it with my wife and children. Oh, but they may not receive this. They may call me crazy like they did the last time. Oh, but they may not receive this certain person at work. Reuben, you feed them. And it may not be word only. It may be material stuff. It may be $20 that you have in your wallet or purse. Or it may be something you have that they need. You feed them. You disciple them. You disciple them. You keep on loving them. And you feed them. You take care of them. Yes, we are our brother's keeper. Yes, we take care of the brothers and sisters. And yes, we take care of the people who are in the world, who are yet to be saved, who are yet to come into the kingdom of God. They're going to come in when you feed them. That's what Calvin and Barbara has been doing for many, many years. Hallelujah. Thank you. If you hook up to what the pastor's vision is, I guarantee you, you're going to be blessed. You're going to be blessed. It's about feeding people with the word and stuff they need. Whether it's vacation Bible school or the teaching and preaching of the word or the Christmas program. Or they do both. They feed spiritually and they give them stuff in the natural, you know, which is great. He said, you feed them. You feed them. Something just came up in my spirit. You know, when I was a baby, and my mom held me in her arms, and she would have had to feed me because I couldn't. I was a baby. She would have to change my diapers. She would have to bathe me. She would have to put my clothes on way up until I was 12. No, I'm kidding. Not 12. I don't remember up to how old I was. Listen to what just came up to me in my spirit, though. If you're coming to church to be fed of the pastor, being fully grown, I kind of scratched my head. Hey, what's wrong with this picture? Babies are to be fed. I said babies are to be fed, but when we're full grown, more is expected of us. You feed them. You come prepared. The Apostle Paul said this. He said, how is it then? Other versions say, how be it then that when each of you come together, and I believe he's talking about full grown Christians, that each of you have a psalm or a hymn or an exhortation or a word from the Lord that you have to share and feed each other with. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I'm telling you, I praise the Lord for the pastors we do have. But I believe that we are to feed ourselves when we're fully grown. I can't picture myself being 49 years old in the naturally speaking, and my mom's feeding me as though I was still an infant in her arms. And going to her house, hey, can you change my diaper? No, more is expected of me. More is expected of you. You feed them. You make disciples. And when you do, I believe that this is how God is going to make you 1,000 times more than you are. And I believe it covers everything. It's spiritual and materially, you know, money. I believe as you do this, you're automatically going to prosper. He wants you to prosper spiritually first, and then you'll prosper in the natural. You see, more is expected of us. And what I get from this, hey, I can perform the miracles, Jesus says, but you still have to feed them. You'll still have to serve me. Yes, 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 you are my friend. And that's why you know through the Holy Spirit what I want to do, because you're my friend. Amen. And let's go to John chapter 6. This is the other account. It's the same story, I know, but let's go to John chapter 6. Well, you know what? I'll skip that first part and go on to the... You know, when Jesus, he fed the multitudes, but not all the people that he fed followed him because they believed in him. As we'll read about this in this account right here, he says, and these people, they found him. They followed him and they found him in Capernaum. How do you say Capernaum in English? Capernaum. And then they found him there. And then Jesus said to them, these were the same people that he had fed, about 5,000 men and their families, plus their families. And Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. And then they said unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? He just got through telling them that it's like they don't believe in him. And then he said, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent. He's saying, hey, if you don't believe in me, then you're not working. You're not feeding. You're too busy feeding yourself. Excuse me. Is this water down here? I think I have some here. Oh, is it holy water? No, I'm kidding. And you know, and to be quite, thank you, to be quite honest, hey, I'm human. I find myself feeding myself sometimes. Hey, when the Lord says, I have placed the word in you, and you ate it all up, but you didn't share it with the others. And, ouch, I've done that so many times. And sometimes in major assemblies like in Mexico where people are gathered together from surrounding pueblos and stuff. And I have this word on the inside of me burning. And it's a burning down, even down through my bones. Oh, but then my head gets in the picture. Oh, they may not receive it. They're probably not going to need this. I mean, look around. These are all pastors and leaders, and they don't need this. You know, we have to believe that when Jesus speaks a word to you, hey, you got it. You share that word. And as you do, he will multiply that word. And it will feed many, many people. And I ask forgiveness for that. And I don't know if I've done it. Maybe some of you have done it too. I guess what I'm trying to say is I just want to encourage you to be bold. Listen, even if you miss it, at least you're trying to feed the people. Sometimes you come up and you believe you have something in your heart, and hey, it may not be, but that's all right. That's how you learn. It's okay. The Lord is going to see the sincerity of your heart, that your heart is true, and that you're really not trying to hurt no one. It's okay. It's okay to miss it because you're a disciple. Hey, the disciples missed it with Jesus. They messed up all the time. One of them wanted to bring stones from heaven and burn the whole town. I forget which one it was, but it was Samaria or fire down from heaven. They were all carnal. Hey, listen, I didn't come for that, Jesus said. You know? And I think we get that way too sometimes. Let's read on. I'm sorry. I think I talk too much sometimes. That's what my kids say anyway. Dad, are you finished? And they said therefore unto him. Well, I don't want to read that. Oh, yeah, I do. I do want to read that. They said therefore unto him, what sign showest thou then that we may see and believe thee? See, they didn't believe him. And what doest thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you bread. I'm sorry. Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. He was speaking of himself. And we have Jesus in the midst of us. We have the answer. We have the miracle just waiting to happen. You know, for the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then he goes on to say, I am the life. I am the bread of life. I am he. I am this fresh manna. I always have something fresh to say, you know. I have it for you. Not only do I want to feed the multitude, but this food is for you too. It'll build you up. It'll encourage you. It'll just edify you. Where am I want to read here? This is the part I want to get to. Let's see. Go to verse 38. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Verse 44. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. The Father sent his word, which is Christ Jesus, and it produced faith in our heart, whereby we cry out, Abba, Father. Jesus is the word or the bread made flesh, and we eat of his flesh through this word that we have right here. Oh, it's... We have a commission to carry out. And you don't have to go very far. Yes, I praise the Lord for Calvin and Barbara and others who can go do missionary work in Mexico and afar. But guess what? There's a mission field here in Douglas too. You get that one disciple that the Holy Ghost is going to lead you to. And he'll say, that's the one. Okay, maybe you can have this one too. Depending on your level of spirituality, you might say. But listen, Jesus chose the 12 disciples through the leading of the Holy Ghost. And he'll guide you too to choose that one person. And I believe you already know who that is. To disciple him, to feed him, to nurture him or her. And do not be discouraged when they fail. Like Calvin and Barbara watched me fail time and again. And yet they continue to believe in me and continue to feed me. That's just precious. That's what it's all about. You continue to feed. No matter how long you've had that disciple, he'll be your disciple forever until Jesus comes. Amen? He'll be your disciple. Amen. I hope you're getting something out of it. I don't hear any amens out there. I want to hear an amen. Thank you. Thank you. No, I'm kidding. Okay, let's go on then. Thank you, Barbara. Okay, let's see. I'll skip all that. I think we get the picture. Look at verse 63. He says, because they were asking him, how is it possible that we can eat of your flesh, of your blood, and drink of your blood and all that? And Jesus was saying to the disciples, hey, this is all spiritual. In verse 63, he said, it is the spirit that quickeneth, or in other words, that gives life, right? But the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. They are spirit and they are life. Yeah. But you know what? Not everybody believes it. You know, I've been thinking and meditating on this few past 3 days or so. If I had a choice between a church that had 500 members and a church that only had 50 members, but that the church of 50 members were discipled, and the church of 500 were just a crowd of believers that would just come to church and go back home the same way and leave the Bible at home and not even pick it up until it's time to come to church again. I think I prefer to be at the church that only has 50 people, because it's not the number. It's not, how can I say this, Lord? It's not the quantity, there it is. It's the quality. He is telling us today, and me too, preaching to myself, you feed them. You feed them. You want to come to church and be fed? You've been fed already, and you've eaten a lot. Now, you feed them. Freely you have received, and freely you shall give. You feed them. And you'll see how I'm going to make you 1,000 times more. You know, in that scripture in Deuteronomy, now to remember, it talks about that Moses could not carry them any longer. And so he broke up I imagine 2 million congregation he had or more into, I think, 1,000, groups of 1,000, right? And groups of hundreds and groups of 50s and even groups of 10. You see, it depends on what level you're at. Again, it don't matter the number. So long as you're making disciples, so that they in turn will make disciples as well and grow the kingdom of God in this manner. It's the will of the Father that you believe on Jesus. This is the work. This is his will. Amen. I'm sorry. Am I boring you? I'm sorry. I don't know if I am or not. Okay. I know, because I can be long-winded. But just give me 15 more minutes. Deal? No deal. No deal. Okay. I'll skip some scriptures here. Let me have that Bible, please. Let's go to Isaiah 55. And I think this clears it up a little bit more, or a lot more. Go to Isaiah. We're all familiar with Isaiah 55, chapter 55. Are you there? It says, oh, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that have money, come ye. That has no money, I'm sorry. And he that has no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine, milk, without money and without price. You see, the disciples had Jesus right in front of them. See, they had the very answer when he asked them the question, testing them, you feed them. And they kept saying, well, how are we going to do this? Even if we had a year's wages, we wouldn't be able to feed this multitude. But Jesus is saying here to us, you come to me, and I will do the feeding. I am the supply. I am going to multiply. I am the God of multiplication. Like, yeah, he's El Shaddai. It reminds me of Bobby. He is the God of more than enough. If we believe. Then he goes on to say, wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread? Jesus said that. He said that, didn't he? And labor for that which satisfieth not. Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good. And let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Isn't that awesome? Verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. There's a surrender. I can see a surrender here. Surrender your carnal whatever. Surrender. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, which means he used to be with the Lord, I imagine. And he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Skip over to verse 10. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not hither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word, or my bread, be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in all the things that I sent it. And this, how does it say it? I forget. I think I wrote it down. Oh, here it is. And this is the word, or the bread of faith that we preach. Yeah. It's all about feeding the people and making disciples. This is the word. It is in your heart and in your mouth. Speak it forth as you're led of the Holy Ghost. Be led of the Holy Ghost. Don't just say anything and make people angry. I've done that before. Oh boy. We don't want to do that. We don't want to lose them. We want to love them. Be led of the Holy Ghost. For this is the word of faith. This is the bread of faith that we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, but with the mouth he confesses for his salvation. If you can feed him, he'll come to believe and say along with us, Abba, Father. Jesus sent his word. Jesus is the word. He is the bread of life that we have all partaken of. And we have also drunk of his blood. We are so anointed. There's so much power on the inside of us. We can feed the multitudes. We can start with our own families, our own town, our communities. Oh, we have it all in Jesus. Amen. Whew. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to my Father God. Glory to my Father. I have another scripture written here. I don't remember why I wrote it down, but I better. Oh, I already said it. I quoted it. Okay. Thank you, my love. Let me see. Let me make sure I have it all. Oh. You may say to yourself, I'm going to finish with this. It's 8 o'clock. I still have 3-4 minutes because I asked for 15. And you said deal, remember? You may say to yourself, and the Lord gave me this afternoon. I liked it. Hey, but I'm not a supervisor where I work. People may not listen to me. Hey, I am not, I don't hold a great high position in the world at work or at school. people just look at me and they just like brush me off. But then the Holy Ghost said to me, oh, but remember, Pilate, when he said to Jesus, and the Jews were yelling outside, crucify him, crucify him. And Pilate, he didn't want to crucify him. He wanted to have mercy. But then Pilate finally said, don't you know that I have power to crucify you? Power means authority. To crucify you or to let you go? But Jesus turned around and said, hey, you have no power over me, except it be given thee by my Father who is in heaven. You have power. He said in his word, I have called you to be the head, not the tail. I have called you to be in front and not behind. I have called you to be on top and not in bottom. Excuse me. Get that from Calvin. No, I'm kidding. No, I learned a lot from Calvin. I continue to learn from Calvin and Barbara. And I have learned from you as well. I have learned from all of you. All of you. You have a calling to carry out. Just like the disciples, I believe when they were carrying out what the Lord said and giving the people those baskets filled with food to eat, they were participating in the most high calling that the Lord had for them to do. As we participate and carry out Jesus' objective to make disciples, I'm telling you, you're going to be fed and you're going to feed others as well. Amen. I am done. And I don't know what to do after, if I should pray or go. I'm going to hand it over to you, Barbara. Do you have something? No?
Yeah, just a little bit. The victory comes in the action. If he would have said, feed the multitude, and they would have watched the food to see if it multiplied, it would have never happened. But in their act of obeying the word of God is when the multiplication took place. It's as we're moving. It's as we're moving, as we're obeying, that the supernatural power of God kicks in. You know, if God tells you to do something and you just say, well, I'm not ready yet. Or if he tells you to do something and you say, well, I don't have the money yet. Or I whatever impossibility, if you set back and wait till you see with your own flesh the answer, you will never see the miraculous power of God in the multiplication. When God tells you to pray for someone, it's in the act of obedience that the power of God moves and that person's life is touched. It's hearing and taking that step of obedience. When God puts something on your heart, obey. You know, if you let your mind reason it out, you'll never see the miraculous power of God. But when the Spirit speaks to your spirit and you take that step of faith, I mean, and your mind can say, oh, you're going to be so foolish, and what if it doesn't happen, and what if this, and what if that, and you know, you will miss the thrill of seeing the power of God at work. When God speaks to you, when he nudges you on the inside, and sometimes it's just that, sometimes it's a small whisper of the Holy Ghost. Sometimes it's just a small nudge in your spirit. And you have to step out with it. And as you step, as you move, as you obey, that's where you meet the power of God. And that's where things happen. It's in the obedience. It's in the action. It's in the doing where things happen. Oh, hallelujah. This word is alive. It's alive. It just thrilled me. Jesus said, you feed them. You feed them. You feed them. And I think he's telling us that about our town, about Douglas right now. You feed them. You feed them. And as, you know, God will put someone on your heart. You know, God will put someone on your heart. And you just be obedient. Be obedient. Give them a word. Give them an encouraging word. Sometimes you just need to go to them and love them and show them friendliness. And as you love them and show them friendliness, then their need will begin to cry out. And they'll say, well, will you pray for this? Will you pray for that? I have this need. And you might even ask them, I've been thinking about you. What do you need? Do you need something that I could pray about? Because God has all the answers. Hallelujah. And as we listen and as we obey, that's when obedience takes you to that place of the supernatural power of God in operation. Hallelujah. It's good. It's good. It's good. It's good. Father, we thank you for every person that's here tonight. And I bless this people in your name. Oh, Father, I thank you that we are a blessed people. We are blessed of the Lord. We are blessed. We are blessed. We are blessed. We have the word of the Lord. We have the spirit of the Lord. Oh, la mekeo she le mikonda la rimbo ashe. Father, I thank you for multiplication of your word through the people that's here tonight. Multiplication, multiplication, oh, of the word, of disciples, of souls, of healings, of financial miracles. Multiplication, Lord, multiplication, multiplication. Oh, le keshanda robotanda libonda yikanda laboriashe. Oh, la kenda bioshe, mandario kone ashe. Endo rabalindi, bafroshande labakindo rabande, and botaniai otanikinai. Oh, la mehiko manayoshe, ilabashande. Oh, la karindo ashe, bahanho. There is an anointing of multiplication being poured out even this night. Even this night, that anointing for multiplication is here. Oh, yes, 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 yes. Sio hole she, grab it and run with it. Grab it and run with it. Move with me, says the Lord. For kalo moshe, I have put it in your hands. I have put things in your hand. That you have things in your hand. And you look at that little bit that you have in the hand and you say, it's not enough. It's not enough. It's not enough. It's not enough. Oh, but the Lord says, as you use what's in your hand, it will be multiplied in the using. In the using, it will be multiplied back to you. Oh, le keshande la batande bohayate one ashaya lomonene. Ando la vashe la kanabote. Anahoashe. And another thing I hear in my spirit is multiplication, multiplication of finances. Oh, when you give money, bless it. Bless it, bless it. Oh, leke de moshande. Oh, mahai elashande. Decree over it. It's blessed. This money is going to go farther. This money is going to do more. God is multiplying my money and God is giving me new ideas. Oh, la kabishonde lidi bahandai. I've been hearing all day. It's just kind of been rolling in my spirit. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. The earth is the Lord. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness of thereof. He owns all the cattle. He owns all the silver and all the gold. He owns the mineral wealth. Our God, our Father, our Papi, He owns it all. And He wants to get it into the hands of His people that will use it for His kingdom, to establish His kingdom. Listen, listen, listen. Listen and believe. Let that light bulb come on in your heart as you listen to the voice of the Lord. Hallelujah. The Lord wants to multiply everything we have and everything that we will do for Him. Oh, yes, 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 yes. Be generous. Be generous. Be generous in your compliments. Be generous in your encouragement. Be generous with your love. Be generous with your smiles and your kind words. Be generous with your finances. You know, the Lord had said this is the year of the gift. And it's just not like huge things. It's just little things. Just give, 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 give. Give where you can. Whether it's big or little. Give, give, give. Just never miss an opportunity to give. Oh, hallelujah. And it'll come back. And it'll come back. And it'll come back on every wave. On every wave, it'll come back. Hallelujah. Well, praise God. God is good. Amen.
Is it okay to share something that the Lord gave me the other day? I was seeking God the other day, early in the morning, and he gave me this, the character of our spirit. We know in the Word it tells us to get knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. It also tells us to line upon line, precept upon precept, you know, learn. Well, we have a dual system, parallel system, our mental capability and then our spiritual capability. But when he says get knowledge, understanding, and wisdom, which works for our human reasoning, but I submit God was talking about the Word to perfect the character of our spirit. We refer to being born again with a new spirit. Unless we gain knowledge, understanding, and wisdom in the Word, we continually lack the godly character in our spirit. Therefore, we fail to get the benefits of God, promises, and fall into all types of sin without the understanding on how to avoid and defeat that sin nature. In so doing, we lack trust in God and in His Word. That is one of the reasons, I submit, that God sent Adam and Eve from the garden. We know that he sinned. We know that he did not want him to go eat of the tree of life in that condition. But he put up flaming swords to keep him out because he did not trust him. That's me. That's what I got. That God sent Adam and Eve from the garden as well as being permanently enclosed in sin if they ate of the tree of life. I was watching Bill Winston the other day. And he talked about Adam, after he sinned and left the thing, that he was a walking dead man. He had no capability of being born again at that point. And when you apply it to our today's society, anybody that haven't accepted Jesus are walking dead people. And there's only one place for them to go, unless we feed them. Trust was the same reason that the Israelites spent 40 years in the desert. God was upset because they saw the miracles, as we put it, the miracles that he did with the fire at night and the cloud during the day and opening the sea and getting them across. Yep, but they didn't trust him that they could go into the land and take it like he said they could. 10 of them didn't. 2 of them did. So they spent the rest of that 40 years in the desert and never had a chance to enter the promised land. Whenever we just use our senses, we're not doing anything from the spiritual realm. When we sit there and try to figure things out, instead of going, Lord, guide me on this. What am I supposed to do? We just clumsily go through the day making mistakes, saying the wrong thing, thinking the wrong thing. And then if we haven't trained ourselves with the Word, then we don't repent at that point and clear it, which just leads to building another brick in the wall that you're going to hit if you don't get it out of the way. Anyhow, the character of our spirit, that's what he gave me.
Amen. The Word builds the character in our heart and our spirit. Amen. Well, go and have a wonderful week. And I know this Friday night is the youth game night at 6. And we'll see the rest of you on Sunday. Amen. Have a wonderful, blessed rest of the week.